Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. One day before the two-year anniversary of the attack that ignited the war in Gaza, delegations from Israel, Hamas, and the U.S. are convening in Egypt to discuss a ceasefire.
As part of a U.S.-brokered peace proposal, in addition to releasing hostages, Hamas agreeing to hand over the administration of the Gaza Strip to a Palestinian body with support from Arab nations. In return, Israel would withdraw its military from Gaza completely and release Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending National Guard troops from any state to Portland, Oregon. Illinois also fighting a move by the Trump White House to deploy troops to Chicago. It's a first Monday in October, which means the Supreme Court begins its new term today with questions about birthright citizenship and voting rights on the docket. NFL analyst Mark Sanchez facing multiple charges and recovering in an Indianapolis hospital after an altercation over a parked vehicle in that city. This is ABC News.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Peaky Blinders is the gift that keeps on giving to its loyal fans. Netflix and the BBC have announced that the popular show about the Shelby crime gang is getting a two-season sequel, according to Screen Rant. The period drama, created by Stephen Knight, will have six episodes in each season that will air on BBC One in the UK and Netflix worldwide. The new seasons will pick up after the Peaky Blinders movie, also written by Knight, called The Immortal Man. There is no release date yet for the film, which stars Cillian Murphy, Stephen Graham, and Rebecca Ferguson. There were rumors that the movie would be the end of the franchise, but that no longer appears to be the case. Knight says that the show will follow a new generation of Shelbys in the sequel. The Immortal Man will act as a bridge between the original show, which ran for six seasons, and the new iteration. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
He said we're going to need a good 3 days. He told me to, but after watching them, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matinair on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Feeling far more like fall today with partly sunny skies, a high temperature near 63. Mostly clear skies tonight, a chilly night with lows down into the upper 30s. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 50 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Mulva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, I do believe we've got a possibility of rain on a Monday morning. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, fresh off World Dairy Expo 2025. What a show. Great opportunity to meet up with a bunch of you folks, as well as the best from the dairy industry. We'll quickly recap some of the results as the morning unfolds. Like I said, as the day unfolds, don't be surprised if you notice a change in the air. Not only as far as moisture, but also as far as temperatures. All that hot, sticky business that we lived with last week is now a fading memory. Today, we've got about a 50-50 chance of rain today. Cloudy skies for the most part. Daytime highs today, not much better than 68 degrees, with a little bit of a breeze out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, another possibility of rain in the overnight hours. Tuesday, back to sunny skies, 66. Our expected high tomorrow, Wednesday, sunny and 63. Thursday, sunny and 65. More normal temperatures for this time in October. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has the weather details just around the corner. Farm finances. It was a big conversation topic at World Dairy Expo 2025. Dairy producers staring into a future that's not providing them with a lot of positives when it comes to milk price, and not a lot of positives necessarily when it comes to dairy exports. Bob Bosholtz joining us in just a moment with one dairy economist's outlook on 2025 into the new calendar year.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Farmers deal with a lot, including long days, stress, and fatigue. This is your reminder to take breaks, stretch, have a snack, and hydrate your body. Avoid farm accidents by keeping yourself healthy. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how Rural Mutual supports Wisconsin farmers and prioritize safety on the farm.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
We want Matt Fair! We want Matt Fair!
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
Plenty, plenty, plenty.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Exchanging knowledge of the dairy industry at World Dairy Expo, that's the place to be. Whether you're in the barns or in the feed alleys, you can always find out more about the dairy industry. Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, visiting now with a guy that's been in this dairy industry from raising cattle, showing cattle, to now the lead economist with CoBank, and Corey Geiger, of course, is who we're visiting with. And Corey, first of all, CoBank has a very big footprint in this country, and you're the lead dairy economist.
Yeah, CoBank's part of the Farm Credit System. The longer name is Cooperative Bank, but we're the, if you're a cooperative looking for a loan in the Farm Credit System, CoBank is the place to start, and we also do farm credit leasing as well.
And you're focused, as we said, with being the lead dairy economist with CoBank. And right now, as we look at the prices and the situation in the dairy industry, exports, demand, pricing, is fragile a right word to use when we're talking about dairy farming?
I would say stable, but there's some fragility to it. One of the things that I've been really closely tracking, and now just wrote a report on global milk components here. Dairy farmers really respond to economic incentives, and we have done a wonderful job of producing butterfat in this country. And while everybody quotes the USDA milk production report, one thing I've done deeper in some of my reports is tracking butterfat and protein percentages. So if you look at, like, compare last August to this August, butterfat in this country the last 3 months are up over 5%. That's, we've never seen that in any of our lifetimes or our grandparents' lifetime. So even though butter, the product consumption over the last 52 weeks is up 4.5%, that's a really good number if you're looking at consumer data. We're just making more butterfat. And if you're tracking butter prices in particular, you could see they're down to $1.70. What that's really saying is we're making too much. The good news is butter, the product exports, are up 250% year over year. So while a lot of other agricultural commodities aren't doing so well in export trade, think soybeans, think corn, dairy's poised to almost have a record year. And largely, that's some of the butterfat trade, the cheese is going real strong. So that's a positive momentum part of the story. But yes, for the last 8 out of 10 years, 90% of U.S. dairy farmers get paid on multiple component pricing. The two biggest components, butterfat and protein. In the last 8 of the 10 years, butterfat's been that leading component. We're, by this late fall milk checks, protein's going to be the lead car, and it could stay there a while just because of the strong butterfat production.
What about powder? You mentioned the exports. Powder, Chinese market, how much is that deflating the price?
Mm-hmm. So powder is something that really has to be unraveled. There, when people talk about milk powders, there's non-fat dry milk. That's a product that has the butterfat extracted out of it. And then there's whey protein powders. And when whey protein powders are almost as colorful as a rainbow, there's so many products out there. China, when you look at whey protein 34, that means 34% protein, China had been importing 70% of that number, quite a bit going to hog feed as well. Those exports from the U.S. to China are down significantly, so that category is sucking some wind right now. On the flip side, though, if you look at whey protein isolates and concentrates, and I'm talking 80, 90%, we can't make enough of that product. And these are the things.
But who wants that product?
That is a darn good question, Bob. Who wants that product? So if the data out there is 8 to 12% of Americans on our weight loss drugs, like Ozempic or GLP-1, Cornell did a study earlier this year. They looked at 40 food groups. 36% lost market share. There were only four that grew. And we're going to do this since we're at World Dairy Expo. We're going to name fourth place, and we're going to name our grand champion. So in fourth place were snack bars fortified with protein, whey proteins. Mm-hmm. Second place, so that's a big category there. Second place was meat snacks, so another high-quality protein. Reserve grand champion, fruits and vegetables. You're supposed to be eating better. And then grand champion was yogurt, and in particular Greek yogurt. But also in there, they didn't study it. Cottage cheese is up 14% this year over year. Yogurt's almost up 10% year over year. Another big protein source. And if we come back full circle to butterfat, if we're making too much butterfat, cheesemakers need a ratio of about 0.8 protein to butterfat. If you're making too much butterfat, that ratio is lower right now. You either got to pull butterfat out with a separator, mm-hmm. or add milk protein concentrate to raise the protein level. So there's another source for those milk powders.
So as we go forward, what do you expect will be the most economically beneficial to continue producing of those World Dairy Expo champions that you just mentioned?
Yeah. So we got $10 billion of new dairy plants coming online. A lot of that's cheese capacity, and everybody knows the nursery rhyme, Little Miss Tuffet sat on her muffet eating her curds and whey. So we're making a lot of cheese, and then the second product is whey, and so that's one area. And then there's a significant expansion taking place in yogurt. And the average American is eating, I think, 14 pounds of yogurt. I got to double check those numbers, but Europe's at double that number. All I'm saying is that ratio is there's a lot of upside in America on high quality yogurt.
With these new plants coming on, billions of dollars worth of plants, as you mentioned, cheese and whey, do we have markets for that extra cheese, or is that just going to put more of a depressing factor as far as our Class 3 market that we have here in the Midwest, specifically Wisconsin?
So if you look near term, I like to look long term, but if you look near term here, for years the Class 3 price was higher than Class 4. We're going to see that return this fall. There's going to be an ebb and flow to this. There's another way of saying it. There'll be some growing pains here. We will be developing markets. A lot of the mozzarella cheese plants that are coming online, that's all been sold already. Mm-hmm. Pizza cheese is another growth category. We haven't spent any time on that, but people know that story. In some of the cheese markets, some of these plants are being built for export too. U.S. is largely the growth area on exports. We're growing. EU is largely static. In New Zealand, they export 95% of their product, but that's in a space of Wisconsin, Illinois. You can only put so many cows there. But, yeah, there'll be an ebb and flow to this, Bob, for sure.
Corey Geiger is our guest, lead dairy economist with the CoBank. And dairy replacements aren't out there. What kind of factor is that going forward?
Bob, this is the most interesting time on cows. So we are at the largest dairy cow herd since 1993. However, our dairy replacement herd is the lowest in 20 years. So I think that's so important to this economic story. Dairy farmers have pivoted to making beef on dairy. You know, why did this start? 7 years ago, I could have been in an auction, raised my hand, and paid $1,200, $1,400, had choice and privilege of heifers. My hand still might be up at the $4,000 mark because that's scarce availability. What is going to be interesting here in the next 12 months, and we have no case study for this, we have no past history to speak about, dairy farmers, you know, about $4 per hundredweight now, by and large, is coming from beef supply. $1.50 is coming from cow cows, and $2.50 from making black-hided calves immediately for the second career. We have 9.5 million dairy cows in this country, and some of them are being kept just to have another calf. And that's one of the reasons we may not see shrinking cow numbers, because some of our dairy farmers are keeping a portion of the herd to be cow-calf operators and mimic the livestock sector. So it's an opportunity. It's a great revenue opportunity because that's contributing, that calf is almost pure profit to the dairy's bottom line.
Corey Geiger, lead economist with CoBank, who said 20% of the beef supply comes from the dairy herd. And in the beef industry right now, we're at the lowest cow numbers since 1961. So expect dairy farmers to continue to look to the beef industry to try to put some black on the bottom line. With Corey Geiger from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll review the Badgers game at Michigan and also the Brewers taking on the Cubs over the weekend. Where are we at in the NLDS? Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air will join us and talk a little news as well.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And then there's cooler air, and I'll look at north central, very far northeast Wisconsin up into the UP, Hayward Park Falls as well. Could get a little frosty, even late tonight, certainly tomorrow night into Wednesday morning, and it could be a killing frost way up in the far north. A little rain to talk about. La Crosse indicating 54 hundredths of an inch, Mauston at 2/10. I see Park Falls 17 hundredths, Hayward at 1/10 of an inch, a little lighter elsewhere. Wausau only 8 hundredths of an inch so far, but the band of rain extends from far northeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, into the central part of the state and the southwest as well. Folks in the northwest, a slight rain chance later today or this evening. Southeast, more likely some rain yet today or into the evening. It's then that we start to dry out after that. A cool front dropping southeast in the state will allow that cool air to settle in. And that's when that frosty talk may start. And that's something we're going to start to hear more about late tonight in the far north, late Tuesday night, early Wednesday, a little further on into central Wisconsin as well. We're going to get that autumn feel here as that cool air settles in. Daytime highs this week as well. Back to more normal levels, maybe a little below for a while too. We'll check our forecast details right after this.
Farms are already starting to watch yield monitors for 2025, thinking about 2026. Helena Agri wants to have that conversation about 2026 with you today. Steve Bailey is the branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri.
Seed selling is in full swing here. Our best offer for discounts, early pays, volumes, and that to help these guys if they know they're going to stick with a specific variety hybrid or seed company with us. I would advise guys to get in, talk to your sales rep, and lock those in. It also gives you the opportunity to most likely get the seed size you want that fits your planter the best. And the early stuff that comes in usually is the best germ. So that allows us to know exactly what we need in our shed for our growers, and we can get that in early. Whether it's seed, fertilizer, getting that stuff buttoned up would be something I would advise you to do.
Sage advice from Steve Bailey, branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri. Find a location near you or take a look at their product lineup. HelenaAgri.com.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
All right, that's behind us. Go ahead, Stu, give us the forecast.
All right, well, cloudy skies, showers in the central, call it the southeastern half of the state yet today. A slight chance of rain almost anywhere later on this evening. I'd say if we get another 1/10 or 2/10 of an inch of rain almost anywhere about the extent. Temps today much cooler, low 60s in the northwest, upper 60s in the southeast, and the winds will all become northwest during the day at about 5 to 10. A little rain, like I say, in the southeast yet tonight. Clouds clearing out later. mid and upper 40s in the southeast, low 40s, upper 30s northwest. Where's that cool? Sunny and cooler tomorrow. Very low 60s in the north, upper 60s south. That frostiness could be around late Tuesday night and even Wednesday then, Pam. Upper 50s and low 60s for highs. It turns around after that, and there may be a couple of small rain chances toward the end of the week or weekend. It's going to feel more like the season.
Now, what did you, how far north, what's the line of the potential frost overnight?
Well, that would be especially late tonight, might be in the far, far northwest, Park Falls, okay. Hayward, you know, that area. Okay. Tomorrow night, Tomahawk and north, not out of the question.
All right, good enough. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet.
Stumac, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compure Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Want to find out more about the resources available? Beautiful website, compure.com, to find an office near you. It is Mental Health Week here on the show. We've got a story coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Todd Alba Show, an interview with UW-Madison's Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager, James Small.
So what is the mission of this relatively new program?
Most of my work is done with local government. So our goal of the program is to work on reliability and sustainability of the EMS response system itself. So a lot of that depends on funding from local government. It depends on organizational structure of the systems. We're not doing anything with patient care or system quality at all. There's other excellent training providers to provide that training. But where the gap really existed was to work with these local governments, particularly the small local governments that don't have the resources, to help walk them through that process, whether it's how do you increase funding, how do you maybe take your two volunteer ambulances and push them together and create one full-time ambulance and split the cost between the two communities. A lot of those kind of discussions.
What's the biggest challenge for these municipalities? And the second part of that, what's the cause in your opinion?
I'm not sure on the cause. I think that we've seen a decline nationwide in the availability of EMS services, particularly with volunteer services, that there's just a decline in availability of volunteers. I don't think that there's a lack of people wanting to go into it. Our licensing data is pretty consistent going back over a decade that at any given point we have about 18,000 people that have licenses in the state. What we do see is that about 7.5% of them are leaving the field every year and turning in their license. Maintaining a workforce, when you think about that, every 12 years we have to train the equivalent of the entire workforce, that's problematic. And then as we've seen the cost increase, that becomes very challenging, I think, for the particularly for the small municipalities to make that lift and look, use the tools that are available to create the finances that are necessary to pay for things, because they may be going from a volunteer staff member to a full-time staff member, which is considerably more expensive. And then we also have like hyperinflation in this space, whether it's on capital equipment. Personnel costs are outpacing CPI by 2 to 3-fold going back almost 10 years. So, you know, all at once, where a few years ago you might have been hiring a full-timer for $50,000 a year, that position might be 80 or 90 now.
Wow.
So it's gotten really, really expensive really, really fast. You know, when it was a volunteer system in the 80s, when a lot of these systems really came of age, there wasn't 911 yet. So the amount of, the access of the system had a barrier in it, which 911 has erased, having that capacity to handle these increases too. Because if you look at some of these systems, you know, if they formed back in the early 70s, they might have done like a dozen calls that first year. That same system might be doing like a couple thousand now.
Really?
And you're trying to do it with the same base that you built it off of these volunteers that came in that wanted to come help the community, and they needed a first aid card and a CPR card because there wasn't even EMS licensing yet. For now, it's a couple hundred hours of training to get in the door.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. One day before the two-year anniversary of the attack that ignited the war in Gaza, delegations from Israel, Hamas, and the U.S. are convening in Egypt to discuss a ceasefire.
As part of a U.S. brokered peace proposal, in addition to releasing hostages, Hamas agreeing to hand over the administration of the Gaza Strip to a Palestinian body with support from Arab nations. In return, Israel would withdraw its military from Gaza completely and release Palestinian prisoners.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from sending National Guard troops from any state to Portland, Oregon. Illinois also fighting a move by the Trump White House to deploy troops to Chicago. It's a first Monday in October, which means the Supreme Court begins its new term today with questions about birthright citizenship and voting rights on the docket. NFL analyst Mark Sanchez facing multiple charges and recovering in an Indianapolis hospital after an altercation over a parked vehicle in that city. This is ABC News.
The playoffs continue in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field, where the Brewers host the Cubs. Tonight in Game 2 of their best-of-five series, the Brewers winning Game 1 on Saturday 9-3, lefty Aaron Ashby named the opener for the crew tonight. NFL, the Packers back at work after a bye. They'll host Cincinnati on Sunday. College football, the Badgers losing at Michigan 24-10. Luke Fickell.
Well, we're not here to sugarcoat anything. Obviously, there obviously is always some good, but our ability to sustain and finish is where, you know, we still are not close to where we need to be.
Wisconsin has now lost three in a row. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. Giannis recovering from COVID. When will he be ready to play?
He said we're going to need a good 3 days. He told me to, but after watching him, I think it's three for sure.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk about one of Donald Trump's more puzzling budget cuts impacting the education of deaf and blind students in Wisconsin. For real.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.5 WLAK.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Feeling far more like fall today with partly sunny skies, a high temperature near 63. Mostly clear skies tonight, a chilly night with lows down into the upper 30s. Sunny and pleasant on Tuesday with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Currently, it's 49.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now. But,
what about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matt and Air on Air.
How are our dairy farmers doing?
So Dad Cap's latest numbers showed that we're down to just a little bit over 5,200 dairy farms. Back in 1986, when I graduated from high school, we had 44,800 and something dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin. And so today, now with that information coming out, we've dropped a lot faster than I thought we would. Back in the late 90s, I did some work on dairy pricing reform and tried to get a system in that would hopefully keep more smaller farms in business, and have not succeeded in that yet. And so, you know, we're looking at that number, you know, continuing to dwindle. You know, so next year, by the time my 40-year graduation date is, I'm pretty sure we're going to be under 5,000 dairy farms in the state of Wisconsin, because we're still losing one and a half a day. Since 2020, we've lost 25% of the dairy farms here in the state. And, you know, that just, you know, it's disheartening. Really, it should be looking at a national security issue for a couple different reasons. Number one, because diversity is always the best way to have a food system. If you get too congregated, it really puts the whole system at stake. And, you know, number two, we just have to make sure that we have a high quality workforce. We're losing those generations of high quality workers.
I guess the question, and something we always talk about, Darren, on the show, whether it's with you or with other farmers or just in general when we're discussing this topic, is the government's role in working with the farmers and the farming industry. What is, in your mind, and I don't even want to say a perfect world, but what does the government do in your version that helps sustain the amount of farmers, grow them, or at least take care of them to the place where they're not having to worry every single day about shutting down? What do you want to see from the government as far as partnership? What do they need to do?
So number one thing is make sure that there's a fair marketplace. Looking at what's going on across the country with the very uncompetitive markets that we see, because we can't sell our products into a market that's not being manipulated by big business at this point. It's been that way for decades already. It's just getting worse because we have less players there. Number two, making sure that farmers get a plus production for the products that they produce so that they can stay in business and that, you know, new farmers can actually come into the business too. Or number three, stop handing out government checks to the largest farms at prices at an amount that's way above what should be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
They run up in the postseason.
1670 AM.
I feel like I've been gone for a very long time. Glad to be back in studio with you after a very successful World Dairy Expo. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Let me give a big shout out this morning to some of our Wisconsinites that did very, very well at World Dairy Expo. The supreme champion of the junior show came from Whitewater, Wisconsin. Tessa and Stella Schmacher from Whitewater exhibited the supreme champion of the junior show. And this year, the supreme champion of the overall show, going to the red and white supreme champion exhibited by Milk Source, Lori Fisher, Steincrest, and Crescent Mead of Kaukauna, Wisconsin. Absolutely gorgeous red and white cow, Golden Oaks Temptress Red ET. Congratulations, Jim, Lori, the rest of the crew. Well done. Wisconsin did very, very well, that is for sure. So today we change gears. This is National Rural Mental Health Week, and we are celebrating. Stephanie Hoff has got a story as to why farmers need to remember to reach out to one another and beyond their circles in just a bit. Today is the sixth day of October. What can I tell you? How about a happy anniversary to Faith Hill and Tim McGraw? They got married on this day back in 1996, still hanging in there. And happy birthday to football coach mentor Tony Dungy. He turned 70 years young today, and now you know.
Welcome to Rural Mental Health Week, because at Rural Mutual Insurance, it's about more than just policies. It's about protecting what matters most. Today, we're visiting with Josh and Liz Steiner, who, as first-generation dairy farmers in Monroe, have dealt with their fair share of business obstacles. But when a tragedy left a hole in the family, it took a great deal of strength to get to a better place. Since then, Josh and Liz have become advocates for rural mental health.
I mean, obviously, we all know agriculture is tough in itself right now, mentally. If you see somebody down, what I've learned in the past few years in my own experience is if you sit there and wait for somebody, or you can put all the calls out there you want, saying that you're having a tough time, but you really need to reach out to people and have it aware that people reach out to you. That's important.
Josh, you even have a TikTok page devoted to that message. What are you posting?
You know, kind of like short little statements or, you know, like positive themed statements to try and encourage people. And I've gotten some feedback from people saying, well, we're glad we saw that today. We were having a rough day.
Where did the idea to build a network originate from?
About 21 years ago, we lost a child And I always thought I had to be the strong one in the family to kind of hold on and keep everybody mended. From that experience, I've learned that you should talk to people about problems and open up, because it kind of eats at you and eats at you and eats at you. And if you can open up to people or get people to open up to you, life is a whole lot less stressful.
Josh, thank you for sharing that with us today. Is that the story that was highlighted on the national stage? I heard that you had something featured in Washington, D.C.
We were actually kind of a small segment in that, but talking about the documentary that's going to be featured in D.C., my take into that was more of what I do to help. And I encourage people to, I call it de-stressitizing, but you've got to get away from the problem for a while, whether it's a mini vacation or just a daycation with the family or some buddies, or, you know, go out some night to eat with your spouse or your friends, or you got to get away to not think about everything at home, I think, is the number one thing. And I kind of stress that.
And Josh and Liz, I mean, you guys are dairy farmers, so you have the best excuse out of anyone that you just simply don't have time to do a mini vacation, or in some cases even make dinner plans. What's your favorite way to de-stress, and how do you guys make it work?
Well, belonging to the TikTok family has really helped. Farm Talk is what they actually call it. And we actually were able to get away for a weekend. Thank God we just have good people we can rely on to help us with the farm while we're away.
I never ever thought an app from China we'd ever build a group of people that care so much about. We made so many friends. And like I said, or Liz said, that we get together every year at a guy's farm in Indiana, and we all just talk and say prayers, say what's on our mind, talk about farming. We just kick back, have some adult beverage, and there's always a bunch of food there. And we all kind of, if it works out, it's a little harder for some of us animal farmers, but try to meet up at the National Farm Show in Louisville, Kentucky, too, to kind of kick back and have a little fun time. So those two things, like I say, if you can get to them, it's really fun, because you can just open up and be yourself. I mean, everybody's really nice and willing to listen and talk.
From what you said earlier, you have to reach out and find that community. They're not just going to come to you, but you've got to make the effort.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You have to put in the time and the effort to find people that you can relate to and understand what you're going through.
Liz and Josh Steiner along with us. They are a first-generation dairy, beef, and crop farm in southern Wisconsin, and they hosted this year's Green County Dairy Breakfast. As you heard, they have firsthand experience in getting through a difficult time. That's why they continue to advocate for rural mental health. At Rural Mutual Insurance, we're more than policies. We're your Wisconsin neighbors, here to protect what matters most. Together, we're keeping families, farms, and communities strong. You can learn more at ruralmutual.com.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you?
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Stick around for more details from World Dairy Expo. Up next, Kylie Allen is visiting with one of the photographers that was charged with trying to capture all the glory of those beautiful bovines in the center ring. It takes a very skilled eye. She's got that story on the way. So the story in the markets this morning, pretty quiet on Friday in Chicago. The barrel cheese finished a nickel stronger at 177. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny and a half at 179. Double A butter finished the week unchanged at 175. Now, the grain market this morning is fairly quiet. Currently, we've got December corn up just a quarter of a cent at 419. November soybeans are up a penny right now at 1019 as far as the markets are concerned. The wheat, if you're looking at the new crop contract, that's currently unchanged, sitting at 557 a bushel. Well, you know, Wisconsin farmers have been capitalizing on beautiful weather to keep the harvest rolling. And we've got something to harvest. For Ryan Bennett, a farmer on Port Edward Island, which is in Canada, immediately east of Maine, it's not the same situation.
You just kept thinking, well, it's going to rain sometime, and then it just never did. The majority of the island has been really dry for the entire summer, and for most stuff, it's too late. We're going to see significant yield reductions on potatoes. Most of our grain corn, I imagine it'll be down 20-25%. Probably won't be harvesting it for another 2 or 3 weeks anyway. Soybean yields, half a ton to the acre on soybeans, when they usually would get a ton and a quarter, you know, so there's going to be some hurt around on crops this year.
Poor Ryan Bennett, he's a farmer on Port Edward Island, which is immediately east of Maine. And that's the story we're hearing from Canadian farmers from Saskatchewan, where it's been incredibly dry up until late, all the way through southern Ontario by Lake Erie and Lake Huron, where, again, they have been hard hit by drought. So kind of keep that in mind as you're making your way through your fields. At least you've got something to harvest. Kylie Allen coming your way next with another special story from World Dairy Expo.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the incomparable, the indefatigable Congresswoman Gwen Moore, talking all things shutdown and who really bears the responsibility. Hint, it's Trump.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
He explains to us why they wear black from head to toe.
So that is, that's one of the show ring policies here for World Dairy Expo and as well as other shows. And I think the thought behind it is we are there to blend in. Certainly there's kind of rules of we're not supposed to just stay in the middle of the ring the entire time. We're kind of take our pictures and then go out to the sides so that the judges really have, they can be evaluating the cattle. We're not in the way. We're also not a distraction on Expo TV. There are no bright colors. And I think it's just a more professional look considering the judges are in tuxedos. It's not that hard of an ask for us to be in professional black.
So you mentioned that your job is to be in the ring, take those pictures, and then go back to the side, and I know you're busy editing. At that point, how long, if a class takes an hour to sort, how long does it take you guys to picture every animal in the ring?
Honestly, we're probably in there for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. I guess I've never timed it. That would be really interesting. But for us, we could easily have from, say there's 50 animals that are in the ring. We call them kind of the walking shots of that before the lines are starting to get made. We could easily have 250 pictures just in that, you know, one, that first group of, you know, showing, sorry, and then we go through and we are immediately editing those pictures. That's, we typically have someone that's sitting at the computer besides the photographer, and they import the photos, and we start evaluating and picking the best pictures. And we take multiple pictures of every animal to make sure we have options so that we can help show off the best angles for each exhibitor.
Well, and you mentioned angles. So we're not just standing in front of these animals and taking a picture all willy-nilly. What's the art behind taking those pictures?
I think we at Cosmopolitan come at it from, we're taking pictures, we're putting them online and in our magazine for the people that aren't here. I mean, it's great to see the stands full of full of people watching the show. We're really coming at it from, we want to take the best pictures that are representative of the cattle, if you were here and what they looked like. So we want to make sure they're, you know, really clean, try to not get a lot of distractions and things like that. And when the exhibitors are walking around the animals, that it just, all four feet are on the ground, and the head is, you know, the head carriage is nice, and they're showing off their cattle for the judges. We're trying to show that off for the people at home, but also when we're sitting there, you know, if there are fun shots that it's, you know, a heifer's got her ears, she's really alert and perked up, and we can get a really fun picture with the flowers in the background. You know, we want to do that, but it is about, like, if someone is at home, they can look at our pictures and they can follow along and be able to see what the judge is seeing and what the people here are seeing.
So before you take those pictures, are you doing almost a quick self-analysis of what that animal looks like?
Absolutely. I think, at least for my crew, all of us have either exhibited cattle ourselves growing up. We have people that are currently still showing cattle. You know, they own cattle and they are showing. I competed in the judging contest here as a 4-H-er and in the collegiate level. So I'm always evaluating, you know, animals and kind of just seeing, ooh, you know, maybe she needs a little help here, or maybe that's not something to focus on. But I'm also looking to kind of see, okay, who are potential winners that I want to make sure we're really showing them off. And also at the same time, if there's an animal that's maybe not behaving the best, we're not just going to skip over her. We're going to, you know, try our best to still keep looking back. So if people ever see us, like, we're constantly kind of looking around the ring and seeing if an animal that maybe was being naughty when she first walked by us, but if she settled down in a different spot, I'm gonna go walk over and take her picture then, you know, because I want to, again, it's about presenting all the animals for the exhibitors at home. A lot of people use it for their own marketing, you know, to share on their social media, and we want people to get those special pictures.
So these cameras that you're using, modern ones, are very impressive and can take great pictures in camera, but you're still sitting down and taking the time to edit them in that software you mentioned called Lightroom. What are some of the things you're doing? I don't think we understand that how to edit a picture. Can you walk me through that process?
Absolutely. So we... you know, first we're cropping, you know, making, getting rid of the extras around the cattle, you know, tilt, make sure that it's a very straight horizon level, because cattle aren't walking downhill, you know, that we want to make sure they're nice and square and level. And then it's adjusting a little brightness, contrast. This ring is interesting, maybe from an outsider perspective. It looks like it's all a very well-lit, bright ring. The corners are definitely brighter than against the backdrop. So, and you have darker cattle versus lighter cattle. We are adjusting color, like the tones of things, because the Guernsey animals are going to picture very different than a brown Swiss. They're completely different colors, spectrums. So we are just making sure that when you click through our pictures, though, it tries to be a consistent look across everything, and we're adjusting. It's little things, you know, every animal.
Julie Ashton, the general manager of Cosmopolitan, along with us. She says that for World Dairy Expo, her crew gets to the show ring at 6:15 in the morning and works a 12 to 14 hour day. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Washington has big things in the works to benefit U.S. agriculture. Next on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. The Bureau of Labor Statistics lists 417 fatal injuries in 2022 in the category of agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting. About three-fourths of those involve crop and animal production. Farming is one dangerous occupation. Food for thought. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins at a recent farm gathering in Kansas City.
As I was traveling around the country, I heard a lot about fertilizer, seed, labor, interest rates, tractors, how it had all gone sky high, especially in the last 4 years. U.S. farm production inputs all cost so much more today than they did under the last Trump administration.
Rollins says we all feel agriculture's pain.
All of America is under threat when American agriculture is under threat. My friends, we know that agriculture in our country today is under threat. You all know it because you live it more than anyone else in the country. And you deserve to know what your government plans to do about it.
Rollins says Washington will move ag to the front burner.
We are, under President Trump's leadership, I believe, finally putting agriculture back at the center of our policy making, at the center of our decision making, and at the center of our economy. Despite the ongoing storms, I am confident that the best days of American agriculture are truly ahead. You, our farmers and ranchers, have delivered for America for 250 years, and now it's time for us to deliver for you.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, book bans have not gone away, but we tend to forget about it. We're going to talk about book bans and what that means for our children. Please join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. There is currently no requirement that companies spreading sludge on crops must disclose whether it contains PFAS. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A Trump-appointed federal judge has blocked the White House from deploying any National Guard troops to Oregon. The judge questioning lawyers for the administration, asking if they were purposefully circumventing her order by sending Guard members from California and Texas to the state. Now, troops from any state are barred from going there. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson.
This is yet another unnecessary and inflammatory attempt by the president to deploy outside troops in Portland where no intervention is warranted.
Illinois is also fighting orders by the Trump White House to send the National Guard to Chicago. Negotiators from the U.S., Israel, and Hamas all meeting in Egypt this week to discuss the ceasefire agreement on the table now. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
It was President Trump's plan. Hamas says that it accepted the deal. Now the onus is on Hamas.
The Nobel Prize in Medicine awarded to three researchers in the field of immune tolerance. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's